This morning, before we jump into the message, to kind of give you a review of the previous weeks, just in case you missed them, but you can go back and listen. The first week, we talked about how whenever our purpose and God's purpose kind of come together, all of a sudden, our world is changing. We've been talking about Moses and how Moses had a disturbance in his heart. And that first disturbance really was whenever he ventured outside of the palace. And all of a sudden, he's seen an Israelite being abused by an Egyptian. And it drove him so crazy. There was something that just kind of came up inside of him that he decided he would kill somebody, which is a bad idea. So don't follow Moses' example, all right? But he kills an Egyptian and has to run away, and then he goes into the desert. He's hanging out in Midian, working for his father-in-law, which may or may not be a good idea, but he's working for his father-in-law. That's a joke, by the way. But he's working with his father-in-law, and then he is out with the sheep, out in the, however you do that in Midian, I've never been there, but he's out there taking care of the sheep of his father-in-law, and all of a sudden he sees this bush that is burning, and he says, hey, I need to go pay attention to what's going on here. And so last week we talked a little bit about sometimes what we do is there's a burning bush going on around us, but we really sometimes don't pay attention. But God is trying to get our attention. So God gets Moses' attention. Moses sees, and then God speaks. And God says to Moses, you know, I've seen that my people are having a hard time. I've seen that there is a problem going on in the world. And guess what? I'm going to do something about it, and then I'm going to send you. You are the person that I'm going to send. And then Moses says what most of us say, and we say, okay, there are better people to do this than me. There's someone else to do this. I mean, young people, here's the thing. Your life is meant for a purpose. You have a reason to exist. And God calls even young people to do things and to live into a purpose. But sometimes we don't pay attention. But God says, hey, I want to send you into this thing. And that's what we talked about last week. So this week, here's what I've got to warn you ahead of time as we jump into this. Is that I'm going to turn up the heat a little bit today. I mean, we've had kind of 3 weeks of kind of feel good a little bit. Okay, so they were kind of feel good stuff. So now what we're going to do is we're going to turn up the heat a little bit. And you're going to go, okay, wait a second, Joe. But we're going to turn it up and we're going to kind of turn a corner and move in kind of a different direction. Because God has called us to do something. Believe it or not, friends, okay, and some of you may be offended by this, but we'll still be friends afterwards. Believe it or not, God has not called us to just hang out in pews, right? I mean, you got your special one, and you keep it warmed up, and it's great, and it's awesome, but that's not what God has called us to do, right? I mean, we're gathering because Jesus rose from the dead, and we're gathering, and we're reminded why the church exists, and it exists because Jesus did something. And so here we are, and we're gathering on a Sunday, but we know that it's not just Sunday. It's bigger than Sunday. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to kind of turn a corner and go in a different direction and kind of put some feet to this a little bit. And so what I want to do is I want to look back or look forward a little bit to the book of Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews begins to talk about this thing that God is doing and specifically references Moses and what God called Moses to do. And your story and my story are related to Moses' story because God has called you to do something and God has called me to do something. And along the way with that, now friends, here's the problem with this, is that I'm on stage, right, and it's elevated a little bit, and there's this tendency sometimes to think that the pastor knows it all, right? I mean, I know you don't know that. You don't think that. But there is this idea that the pastor is the only person who can impart spiritual wisdom. And that is just not correct. The role of the pastor, believe it or not, you can look this up in Ephesians sometime, just Google it. But the role of the pastor is to equip the saints, that's you by the way, just in case you did not know, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so each one of us serves in a different way, and each one of us has a different capacity of what God has called us to do. And my role is simply different from your role. It's not, you know, the pastor isn't any more spiritual, isn't any more wise than anybody else. But all of us are called into this ministry that Jesus has called the church. And so as we look at Hebrews, I want you to kind of think about how God has called all of us into something. And so we're going to look a little bit at what the writer of Hebrews says to Moses. And we'll see if I get this right? So it says this. It says, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter when he was an adult. He chose to be mistreated with God's people instead of having the temporary pleasures of sin. He thought that the abuses he suffered for Christ were more valuable than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking forward to the reward. Now, let me kind of break that down to a couple of things here real quick. So first off, Moses, and what the writer's trying to let us know is that Moses was in comfort. And everything was kind of going well for him. I mean, it was working out for him in the palace. I mean, if you've ever been to a palace, I think I've been to like one. But everything in the palace is just kind of built to make you comfortable. That's what it is. But along the way, the writer is trying to let us know that all of a sudden Moses realized that there was something else to be done. And so he couldn't just simply hang out in this comfort and let everything else just go by and let the world go to hell in a handbasket, right? I mean, there was something that needed to be done. And so the writer tells us that so Moses chose, you know, the day he realized that the Egyptian was abusing the Israelite, Moses chose to do something about it. Now, it wasn't the right thing, right? I mean, killing, I don't know if that's the right thing to do, right? But he chose to do something about it. And so the writer is letting us know that Moses chose to identify himself by a different identification. And he identified himself as a slave with people who were in bondage to slavery. And that is a very different identification than the identification that he had. You know, a couple weeks ago we talked about compassion. Compassion means, it means doing something with. It means feeling with somebody. And so whenever we have compassion, we enter into that ministry with people. We don't kind of look at the side and go, man, somebody else needs to do something about that. We step down into the world, and then we do something with people. And then the writer kind of lets us know that what Moses was doing, looking back, what Moses was doing is he was looking toward the future. He was looking toward this reward, even though he was not sure what it was about. And to me, the thing is this. Here's the thing. Is that what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get you and I to see is that Moses responded to a call. Moses responded to his purpose and what it was God had called him to do. And so later on, Paul writes to one of his young proteges. He writes to Timothy, and he's trying to help Timothy understand, okay, Timothy, your life is not about you. It's about someone else. It's about others, because everything that we do is always about what God wants to do in the lives of other people. And so as Paul writes Timothy, and he writes him this letter, and he starts talking about this faith that Timothy has, and then he says to Timothy, he says, okay, the temptation is to avoid the hard stuff. The temptation is to kind of go, wait, anything that is dangerous, anything that is hard, I don't want to do. But that's the temptation. So you have to move forward and do something about it. And so then Paul says this to him. He says, God is the one who has saved and called us with a holy calling. And this wasn't based on what we have done, but it was based on his own purpose and grace that he gave us in Christ Jesus. And this is Paul's way of saying, man, Timothy, it's not about you. Right? Anybody read Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren? I mean, opening statement, it's not about you, right? So it's not church, right? I told you I was going to turn up the heat. Everybody's like, okay, where's he going with this? But here's the thing. Jesus came not only to set you free and not only to have a relationship with you, but Jesus came so that other people might be set free, that other people also might be invited into this thing that we call the church, into this movement called the church. And so Timothy, it's not about you, it's about what God has done. God is the one who saved us. God is the one who has called us. And he's given us this holy calling. And we can't just sit around on this. We can't just ignore this. It's God's purpose and God's grace that he gave us in Christ Jesus. Because whose gift is it? I mean, it's God's gift to you and God's gift to me. And you and I are stewards of that gift, right? We're turning the corner. So it's God's gift and God's stewardship and what he wants to do within us. Now, Brian Houston, the pastor of Hillsong, says this. He says, sandwiched between your salvation and God's grace is your purpose and calling. That God has redeemed you, that God has saved you, that it's God's salvation. It's God's love that has rescued you, and it's God's grace that's done that. But in between that, somewhere in the midst of that, is your calling and is your purpose. It's something that God wants to do within you, but it is for the sake of other people because your story doesn't end with you. Your story is designed to impact the lives of other people. And when God moves in individuals, God moves in communities, and God moves into the rest of the world. God then moves into schools. God then moves into neighborhoods. God then does things through the church that he wants to do in the lives of other people. You know, years ago, whenever I first started going to church, I mean, you've heard little bits of the story, but years ago, whenever I first started going to church, one of my great heroes of the faith was a man named Leroy Milliken. And Leroy went to the church that I had started attending with my girlfriend. And he was the dad of my girlfriend. And what Leroy would do, and I think is just remarkable how he really built into my life, is what Leroy would do is he realized that, number one, I did not know a thing about fixing cars, okay? And so every time I would have a car problem, Leroy had in his garage, I mean, I don't know where he bought all these tools, but Leroy had this garage full of tools. And so he would call me up, and he had like an impact wrench and all that stuff and an air compressor. Maybe you got that. But he would call me up, and he would say, well, Joe, have you got your brakes fixed yet? And I said, no, I don't have them fixed yet. He said, well, why don't you come on over this afternoon after church, and let's work on your brakes. And so Leroy and I would sit there in his driveway, no matter what the temperature was, and we would, you know, jack my pickup up, and we fix my brakes, and he would help explain to me different things. But every time I had a car problem, he would say, well, why don't you just bring it over, and let's look at it. And then, at the same time, Leroy loved to fish. I mean, I don't know that he was that great of a fisherman, to be honest. I would never say that out loud, even though it's being recorded. But I don't know that Leroy was a great fisherman. He might have been. But what he would do is he would just invite me, and he would say, well, Joe, I'm going to go fish today. You want to go with me? And I was like, well, Joe, he's your girlfriend's dad. It's a good idea, so get out and go do it, right? And so we would go fish. And then the other thing he did is this, is he would then invite me to basketball games. He was a big Lady Bears fan, Bruce. And we went to, and it was during the Jackie Stiles days. Anybody know Jackie Stiles, right? Jackie Stiles I think someone broke that record recently. But Jackie Stiles, I saw the game. We actually were watching it while I was at work, whenever she broke the record for points in an NCAA women's basketball. I think it was the year of the game anyhow. But we would go to Lady Bears games. And he would say, hey, Joe, I've got an extra ticket. You want to go along? And so we would go to these things. And Leroy realized that his life, his calling and purpose, because he was a good mechanic,
And he might have been a good fisherman. I just can't remember. And he loved basketball. But what he realized was, is that his love and his knowledge of working on cars and his love of basketball had to go beyond just him. And so he invited me along, and we went to different things. And then what he began to do is he began to invite me to different things at church. Hey, Joe, we're going to go work on this thing. Why don't you come along? And we would jump in, and we would do all kinds of different things because he realized that his story did not end with him, that his story was meant to impact other people, that Leroy lived with a calling and a purpose. Now, I found out here recently, and it kind of broke my heart, that he passed away a few years ago. And I was heartbroken when I found this out because I don't know that I ever thanked him for investing in my life, because I'm convinced without Leroy Milliken, I would not be in church today. That he made it a point to serve me and invite me to different things. And you and I are called into this bigger thing. We are called into bigger pictures and better stories for the sake of other people. That we invite other people into this thing. That we invite other people into this journey of faith that we call the church. That lives are impacted. That lives are changed. Now think about this for a minute. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whomever. Think about this, young people. You'll need this one day. What would life be like? What would the lives of grandkids, what would the lives of kids, what would the lives of people be like if all of us lived according to a purpose? That we knew we were here for a reason. That we knew that God had done something for us. That God didn't necessarily want something from us, but that God wanted to do something for us. How would our lives change if we really embraced all that that is? All that it is that God wants to do in us. Something tells me, folks, something tells me that our world would be changed if people lived according to purpose. If people understood where they're headed and what God wanted to do in their lives, I'm convinced that life would be changed because I know that is what got a hold of me. And you and I have these people around us that probably you've seen, people who have impacted your life, because last week our question was, okay, so who are some of those people that have impacted your life? Who are those people that you admire? Because most of us, if not all of us, admire people who've accomplished something or who've invested in our lives, who've done something tangible, and we've seen it. And so then the writer of Hebrews gives us this picture of all these people cheering us on as we run into this thing that God has called us to. And the writer goes and says it this way. This is the Message version, by the way. And he says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means, and I love this version, by the way, it means we had better get on with it, right? We had better get on with it. Let's stop talking about all these things that we can't do, and let's talk about what we can do. Let's move into some things. Look at all these people who are cheering us on, because all of us, right, all of us are here because of somebody else. You know, one of the questions that I've been asking at all these listening tours is so how did you end up at Broadway? And for a lot of those stories, I think like 90%, maybe 95%, I don't know, Sherry, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but almost 90, 95% is because of this congregation, because of somebody in here. There's somebody here that welcomed me, or there's somebody here that invited me. There's somebody that said, hey, come check this out, or come be a part of this. But all of us have people who've invested us. And the writer says, hey, look at all these people who are cheering you on. And they're shouting and they're excited. And they're excited about all those things that can be and all those ways that God can impact their lives. And so he says, hey, let's not spend a whole bunch of time looking around. Let's get on with it. Let's remember all those people cheering us on. And let's get on with it. And then he says, strip down, start running, and never quit. No spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Now, whenever he says some of that, no spiritual fat, no parasitic sins, stripped down, blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't run, for those of you who do, okay? If I'm running, it's for a very serious reason, okay? It's not good. You should probably go somewhere else. But I hate to run. I'm just going to let you know. I hate to run. It's a good thing I'm skinny. But I enjoy playing basketball, love playing basketball. I can run up and down a court, that's awesome. Now, granted, I'm 48 and I get a little winded now. But for those of you who are runners, the idea is, okay, when you're running and you're running a race to win, don't be hampered by all this stuff that can weigh you down. I mean, if there's anything on you that is going to keep you from winning the race, that stuff's just got to go. So run that race. Get rid of any of those things that are going to tie you down. And I would say, here's what I would say. I would say, hey, get rid of excuses, right? Don't have any excuses. Run after what God has called you to run after. And then he goes on. He says this. He says, study how he did it. I mean, study how Jesus did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. Shed all these things. And when you're moving forward and you're exhilarated and you're going after the finish line and you see it, you can put up with anything. When you're living for purpose, here's how I would say it. When you're living for purpose, you can endure anything. When you know where you're headed, when you know what the vision of your life is, you can endure anything. Anything. So what do we do with this? To kind of wrap this thing up, what do we do with this? Well, I'm going to ask you three questions here, okay? So I think you ought to write these down, by the way. So number one, when it comes to what God has called you to, where do you see the greatest need around you? Where do you see it? Is it in your neighborhood? Is it in the world? Where do you see the greatest need around you? Because our life mission comes out of the places where we see gaps or holes that need the love of Jesus, and we begin to fill those. We begin to step into those. Second question, how can you meet that need? What are the steps you need to take to fill that need? And here's our temptation, right? The temptation is to wait and go, okay, somebody else will do that. Somebody else will step into that. But God goes, hey, I'm calling you to step into that. That's why it bothers you. That's why it's on your heart. And so you need to step into that. So how can you meet that need? And then our third question is this. What are the gifts you bring to the table? What are your talents? What are your abilities? What are your skills? What are your experiences? What are your passions? And what are the assets you possess? And how can you allow those things to help you meet the needs that you see around you? And then as part of that, this is kind of the other piece of that, your gifts emerge out of service. So here's the thing. So if you don't know what your gifts are, if you don't know what your talents are, if you don't know what your abilities are, here's what I would tell you to do. I would say jump in and start serving. Jump in and start serving. No one ever learns, right? No one ever understands what their gifts are unless they jump in and start doing some things. And then pretty soon you go, hey, I'm pretty good at this, or hey, I'm really lousy at this, or hey, you know, there are things along the way that we begin to embrace. Now, as a part of this whole, like, you know, God has called all of us have gifts, the whole church. Now, Tina has an amazing gift to teach and come up with some great things. I mean, almost everything I have ever taught, Tina and I work on together. And I go, okay, so how do I communicate this a little bit better? And she helps me do that. I mean, Tina and I have written some things. But here's the thing. While Tina could do the children's time every Sunday, right? Because she's good at that and I'm not. Here's the thing. I would invite the whole church into that. Because the thing is this, there's some of you sitting here today that you have some gifts and abilities to invest in those ways. And the problem is, here's the problem, is that what happens is someone goes, man, that person is a rock star. I mean, I think Tina's a rock star, by the way. So I'm married to her, so I can think that. But what our temptation is we begin to go, man, Tina, she is just amazing at that. And I don't think I could do what Tina does. Guess what? You can. You've got a gift. You have an ability. You can do those things. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Lean in, right? Right? You're like, Joe, finish, wrap up, right? But here's the thing. All of us have something. All of us are invited into this. Every person in the church is invited into this. Now, what I was going to do, right? I was going to pass around a sign-up sheet and have you sign up for responsibilities, okay, right? Everybody's like, I'm getting nervous. But I decided not to do that, okay? So here's what I want to invite you to do. Inside your bulletin, friends, is a prayer guide, okay? Because I think everything starts with prayer, right? So in your bulletin is a prayer guide. And what I want to invite you to do, friends, okay, because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about what God wants to do through the local church, in the community, and in the world. So in your bulletin is a prayer guide. And so here's what I want to invite you and me into for the next 4 weeks, okay? Every Sunday, use this in some way, shape, or form, okay? So number one on there is some scripture, okay? To remind us that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Yeah, it's part of what he does. The second part of this, though, is pray for those who are not here yet. Now, when I pray on Sunday morning, we are going crazy long, Craig, I apologize. But here's the thing. When I come in here every Sunday morning, I walk through here and I name everybody by name. I pray for every name that I got. And then what I do is I then pray for those people who are not here yet. Because the church is not just about you, it's not just about me, right? It's for other people. And so as part of this, we pray for those who are not here yet. And then the third part, and this is where we got to put our legs to this, right? The third part of this is to pray over a room in the building. And that may mean that you go downstairs and you pray over one of those classrooms, or you walk into the nursery and you pray for the nursery, or you walk into one of the Sunday school classes and you pray for that Sunday school class, primarily reminding ourselves that God wants to use our facility to reach other people, not just you, not just me, but to reach others. And we're all a part of that. And then finally on there is to pray for the community and for those around us. So I want to invite you and me, for the next 4 weeks in a row, bring your prayer guide and just walk through the church and pray. And just do that. Now, if you have questions about that, feel free to text me or ask me questions, and I will help you with that along the way. So, friends, we got our homework, right? There's our homework this week as we close. Would you pray with me? God, we are humbled that you would call us. God, we know you want to do great things in the lives of people, and we ask that you would use us to do those great things. And we pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.